This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
Good morning, DCR.
The number one pick and a Super Bowl champ with the man that can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's Lawrence Taylor!
I don't marry trash, DMT for short. Wonder if we best, why don't you peep the score? Sports Center E, gonna be top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise and shine with 98.7. This is Drive Time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Dave, Chris, and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
A Thursday morning DCR here on 98.7 ESPN. Again, DNR not here, but CC is. Dave Rothenberg and Rick DiPietro being replaced at least by me for one more day. Bob Wischusen along with Chris Canty at 800-919-3776, 800-919-ESPN. All right, 5 o'clock in the morning, CC. So there's at least maybe a couple of people out there that are just waking up, and if you're waking up at 5 a.m., you might have gone to bed before 10 p.m. last night, unlike knuckleheads like us that do this, where you're going to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning, but you're going to stay up till 10:30, 11 o'clock at night to watch the games last night. And last night, if you're watching the Yankee game around 10 o'clock, all of a sudden you find out they have made a big trade. Big in a sense that they got a big left-handed bat. Big in a sense that they have added a lot more strikeouts to their roster as well. Big in a sense it's another 6'5" power hitter. But it is a trade nonetheless, as they have sent some farmhands to Texas for Joey Gallo. So they have added a left-handed power bat. We've always said this lineup was way too right-handed. They have gone out and taken care of the left-handed part of it. What were your thoughts about this trade when you heard about it?
I thought it was a solid move. Now, it wasn't the move that I thought was the best fit for the Yankees lineup. I talked a little bit about how they needed more versatility in terms of the hitting that they do have in the order. But, I mean, Joey Gallo is a left-handed bat, and he's somebody that should be able to take advantage of that short porch in Yankee Stadium. He's got 75 home runs to right field in his career. So, I mean, that's one of those things that you feel good about. And then, you know, you'll see what he's able to provide. He's a plus defender. So how Brian Cashman and Aaron Boone deploy him defensively is going to be interesting to watch. But, I mean, he gives you that lefty bat to be able to balance out your lineup, break up the right-handed bats. I mean, you got him. Now you got Greg Allen in that lineup. That should give you an opportunity to try to keep opposing pitchers a little bit more honest. But, again, Joey Gallo is a guy that has a lot of swing and miss in his game, a lot of strikeouts. So you wonder when it comes down to those moments where you need those big timely hits, is he going to be able to provide that? That's the question that remains to be seen. But it's clear based on this move that Brian Cashman is intent on trying to slug his way back into the postseason race. And, you know, I got to say this. I mean, I was the sky is falling after the series up in Boston this past weekend. But, you know, don't look now. The Yankees have won two in this three-game set against the Rays. And this is one of the teams that you're trying to chase for that wild card spot. So I feel better about where the Yankees are trending. I mean, 8-4 since the All-Star break, you'll take that. But, I mean, Joey Gallo, being able to add him to this lineup, I think should help the Yankees in terms of them trying to make that postseason push.
Well, there's a couple things here I agree with you that are good. A good is people think of him just as an all-or-nothing home run hitter. He's a really good athletic defensive outfielder. Yep. So he will make them better in left field than they've been defensively. So that's good. He's lefty, right? We've been talking the whole year for a couple years now that the Yankees are way too right-handed. So that's good. And I think the other big kind of overarching good about this is it tells a Yankee fan, philosophically, they're going for it. Right, like you were wondering, how are they going to play this? Right, they're 9 games behind the Red Sox, and they're 3 or 4 games behind, you know, the second wild card spot. This is the Yankees, $200 million payroll. If they can't win the World Series, the season's a failure. So that being said, how are they going to approach the trade deadline? Are they possibly going to try and just middle it and not spend a bunch of money to go over the luxury tax threshold? Are they not going to bankrupt their farm system? Are they not going to, you know, maybe look at this as a rebuilding opportunity and focus more on 2022, or are they going to go for it? this tells you they're going for it, right? I mean, they're sending a decent amount of farmhands. Now, according to Baseball America, apparently none of their top 13 prospects are part of the group that's going to Texas. So they didn't go out and trade the Jason Dominguez's of the world, but they did trade organizational depth to get Gallo. They also control him next year. So this is not a rental. They do have him. He might resign. Who knows? So I think all of that is good. They are going for it. They have shown their cards. We're going to take a run at that wild card spot. We want to be a playoff team this year. You're not making this deal unless that's the case. To me, here's the bad. It's a left-handed version of more of the same.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, what's the definition of insanity? Right? Like doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. Now, granted, Gallo is a left-handed power hitter at Yankee Stadium. You only play half your games at Yankee Stadium. You still have to go on the road. But at least half of their games, he is much more prototypical of what has always been what you'd want at Yankee Stadium. Having said that, though, let me look at their lineup. You just added the third most strikeouts in baseball to a lineup that already has, when Luke Voit comes back, Luke Voit, Gary Sanchez, Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton. I mean, you want to talk about the definition of being the quote-unquote Bronx Bombers? Yeah, they are that. But, man, like, you don't even need to have fans on the fans in the building to create a breeze at Yankee Stadium, because these bats are going to make wind happen at Yankee Stadium, the number of swings and misses that you're probably going to see. So every now and then, these guys are going to jack a ball over the shift and hit the three-run home run. But, like, philosophically, we've watched that fail. Even in 100-win seasons, we have watched this group get to the postseason against the best pitching that you obviously will face the postseason, because you're going up against the best teams, and fail. And I agreed with you when you said I would much rather have had, even if it was a right-handed bat, a more dynamic spray the ball around, you can't shift against me middle infielder, than another big 6'5" power bat. But that's what they got.
No, that's what they got, and that was the deal that they were comfortable making. You talked about the farm system and not having to give up any of their top prospects. They gave up a right-handed pitcher and three middle infielders. I guess that was something that Brian Cashman was comfortable with, seeing as how they're kind of set at that position for the foreseeable future. But I just, with Joey Gallo, I feel like this is Brian Cashman continuing to be stubborn in his approach and his philosophy about what this Yankees team is going to be and what's going to lead them to success. Like, they are intent on trying to bash their way to a championship. And I get it to a degree. Like, you bring in all of these dangerous bats. There's no break in the lineup. So the thought process is that you could wear down opposing pitching to the point where you would get mistakes. And you got the guys in your lineup to be able to take advantage of those mistakes 1 through 9. Like, that's what he wanted. Now, is that something that's going to play well in the postseason when you're talking about opposing teams and opposing pitchers being more game plan specific? That's one of the things that remains to be seen. But I will say this, to this point, it hasn't worked out, right? So, I mean, 2017, they were in Game 7 of the ALCS. They haven't been able to get back to that point since. And this has really been Brian Cashman's show, especially since they moved on from Joe Girardi. So, I don't know if that philosophy, that all-or-nothing approach at the plate, trying to hit home runs or just, you know, striking out, I don't know if that's going to lead to the results that the Yankees are looking for. But I do think, as constituted, the Yankees can get in that wild card game, and then you'll see what happens from there. But this move is, make no mistake about it, it's a positive move. It's a positive step in the right direction. So I like it. I don't love it, but the proof will be in the results that we see from this move.
Am I being too negative? Am I being Rothenberg? Or at least am I playing that role well?
Here's the thing. Rothenberg and Rick DiPietro don't mind this move. Both of those guys are on board with Joey Gallo. This is something that we talked about for a couple of weeks now. But I just, the Joey Gallo move, like you mentioned, it's more of the same in terms of his overall approach at the plate.
You're so negative!
Exactly. The guy has 125 strikeouts in 95 games this season. It's in line with what you've seen from Gary Sanchez and other guys in this lineup. There are some holes in that swing, but when he does make contact, the ball does go over the fence. And so this is, you know, this is a move that's welcome, considering that you do have that short porch in right field, and he's the guy that's in that lineup that can take advantage of that consistently.
Yeah, I get that. But he is, as you said, not only Is he a strikeout guy? I mean, we're used to watching Gary Sanchez, Giancarlo Stanton, obviously, this year, you know, has struck out. Right now, he still looks – he had one really good hard hit, line drive, base hit last night. Mm-hmm. He still looks, like, defenseless sometimes in some of these at-bats. You know Aaron Judge is going to strike out. This guy strikes out more. I mean, you have now added more strikeouts to your lineup. Those guys are approaching 100 strikeouts this season. As you said, he's already 125. If he – in 150 games in his career, has played at least that many games, he's going to strike out 200 times. Mm-hmm. But you're adding a 200-strikeout player to your lineup. Why am I going to believe, just because he's lefty, just because he's another guy that either strikes out or hits home runs, that if the Yankees do get to the postseason, that I'm going to see anything different than what I've seen? Why should I believe that?
Well, I mean, he's going to provide you a little more punch on your offense. I mean, the guy does have 25 home runs. The Yankees have struggled to be consistent in terms of manufacturing offense throughout the season. So, I mean, by default, he's going to be able to add to that. Like, there's no question about that in my mind. The only question is that going to be enough to put the Yankees where they need to be? Now, as far as them making a move at the deadline or trying to take a quote-unquote swing at a guy like Joey Gallo and being able to add to this roster, I don't think Brian Cashman had much choice. Like, everybody talks about it. Are the Yankees going to be buyers or were they going to be sellers ahead of the deadline on Friday? I didn't think they had a choice, Bob. Like, this is something that they had to do. They had to make a move. They had to supplement this roster just because you've already got so much that's invested in this team. Like, so this was something that they had to absolutely do. And based on what they've done in the first couple of weeks of the second half, I feel like the move is justified. Yep. I mean, being able to win that initial series against the Boston Red Sox and now being able to win this series against the Rays, two teams that you're looking up at in the standings, I think that's proof enough to Brian Cashman that this team was worth investing in. But even beyond that, like, they had to do something because this is – you know, getting down to that now or never moment when you come to this collection of players on the Yankees. Like, we were talking about the dynastic window for the Yankees, kind of looking like it's starting to shut a little bit. And so this was one of the seasons that you have to absolutely try to take advantage of, 2021, 2022, because after that, you're talking about potentially losing some of the core guys that you have on this team if you don't sign the contract extension. So I applaud Brian Cashman for making the move. You got Joey Gallo under contract through next season. So that's another feather in the cap. But, again, this is something that they absolutely had to do in order to try to make a postseason push. They owed it to themselves based on what they had invested in this roster.
Can I ask you, you know, and maybe this is just my evil Dave Rothenberg mind working, like some of the thoughts that I had last night when they made this move. And again, this is probably like way too Machiavellian, you know, like conspiracy theory-esque. But my first thought was they made a move that they know will probably fail in the postseason, but will probably help them get to the postseason. And they know, at least from a public perspective, and maybe even from an ownership perspective, all these guys, including Brian Cashman, to stay employed for the Yankees, you have to get to the postseason. Like, I think they know in their heart of hearts, they are sending a lineup that's just going to wave at the best pitchers in baseball, wave at strikeout after strikeout, and probably go quietly once they get to the postseason. But they're so desperate to just get there that they are doing what they have to do just from, you know, kind of an on-the-surface appearances standpoint to make the move to get them to where they know they have to get to, just to put on the billboard, hey, we made the postseason.
Bob, you're in a little bit of a mood this morning, aren't you?
Well, it's day four of me getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
You seem so pessimistic about the Yankees this morning. My goodness, but they make a move.
I did preface it. Am I being too evil? Am I too much of an evil genius?
Another game against Tampa? Come on, man. You got to listen, they're doing some things in the Bronx, right? Give them a little bit of credit. I mean, listen, I get where you're coming from, but I don't think that Brian Cashman made this move with his job security or Aaron Boone's job security in mind. Like, I don't think that's what this is about. I genuinely believe that this is the conviction that he has with the approach, the philosophy in order to build this team. Like, they believe in extra base hits and home runs. That's what the numbers tell them, and that's how they try to apply them. Like, that's what they're going to do. They are doubling and tripling down on what they believe, what they perceive the strength of this team to be, which is power hitting. and Joey Gallo is another power bat in that lineup. Just so happens that he's a lefty bat, so that's going to bring you a little more balance. And we'll see if the Nets results yield something, you know, greater than what everybody else is anticipating. Like, I think that this has huge potential, but again, I'm not certain that this is going to work out where you're saying the Yankees have an opportunity to be a championship contender. I don't think this move puts them over the top,
right,
but I do think this move will help them punch their ticket to the postseason.
So you got a little evil genius working there with your theory then, too. Like, I'm not the only one. Just a little bit.
Yeah,
a little undercurrent.
Just a little. Here's the thing, man. It's hard to trust this team. Like, it's hard to go all in with the Yankees. Like, every time they take a step forward, they take two steps back. And so while I'm optimistic, there's a little bit of trepidation in terms of, you know, wanting to believe in this team. There really is.
Yep.
But the Joey Gallo move does bring me a step closer.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Bob Wischusen and Chris Canty. And on DCR here on 98.7 ESPN, after the Yankees win again last night, make the Joey Gallo trade, could draw a little bit closer to the wild card spot. And, CeCe, were you watching the game last night when all of a sudden you were looking around wondering where Aaron Judge was?
I was, but better late than never. He was a little bit late to it from a doctor's appointment. He was feeling some of the symptoms from COVID, but... you know, listen, he got back in the game. He had that big hit, base hit in the 10th. I thought Wanda Franco had a chance to make a play on that ball, turn a double play. But, I mean, it was able to sneak through, and that ended up being all we needed to get the win last night. So I'll take it. But I think the story from last night's game is Nestor Cortez and what he did, being able to go five strong, only allowed one earned run, and then you have a parade of four lefty relievers that end up giving you five scoreless innings. Like, that was the story of last night's game. The pitching, the defense, that was what enabled the Yankees to get the dub.
As a guy that's got to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to do this show, I tweeted last night, Nestor Cortez is like my favorite pitcher in the world now.
It's the mustache.
He is my new favorite.
It's the ball, mustache.
Look
that's
in,
what it is.
Well, the mustache. The fact that he looks like you could put him in like a 70s suit and he looks like a guy that would be like an extra from Barney Miller, right? Like, he'd be like that detective in the background, like walking a guy like to the cage in the back of the precinct behind Wojciechowicz. But that aside, when you have to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and you know you got to watch a Yankee game because who knows what might happen last night, we know that's what we're going to be talking about, and Nestor Cortez gets the ball, looks in, nods, and throws it. The batter doesn't even have a chance to take a step out of the batter's box, and that ball is back right in his grill. He works so fast. He, compared to today's pitcher, it's like watching a game from the 70s and 80s. If everybody pitched the way Nestor Cortez pitched, you wouldn't need a pitch clock, and baseball would be 2 hours and 20 minutes again. He's the best. No. I wish he pitched. I hope he starts every game, for your guys' sake, when you get to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to do this show. But if, you know, Twitter is just a pit of hell sometimes, right? Like, mm-hmm. I mean, Twitter's like the worst invention ever, except a moment last night where it acts as like the cartoon bubble coming out of an entire fan base's head. And you realize what people at home, when they're hearing what's going on and seeing on their TV something that's throwing them for a loop, what they're immediately thinking. Now they have a way to go and let you know what they're immediately thinking. And last night, Gallo gets removed by Texas from their lineup. The trade deadline is 36 hours away. And all of a sudden, inexplicably, Aaron Judge is scratched from the Yankee lineup last night. And there was a Twitter meltdown. And finally, you needed some people that really know to start tweeting to the Yankee fan base, everybody, are you losing your minds? They didn't trade Aaron Judge for Joey Gallo. Like, what do you think is happening here? Obviously, Aaron Judge had to go. Something is going on, and hopefully he's not hurt. But it turns out, I guess, and maybe he can even explain why he was scratched from the original lineup last night. Here is Aaron Judge after the game with his explanation.
Yeah, it's been frustrating. You know, I'm not really going to get into it too much. You know, we've already kind of said what needs to be said with this. I'm better late than never, you know. I'm excited I was able to get here when I did. And, you know, coming to the game, help out the team, you know, late there in the 10th. Yeah, I think we've kind of already said everything that we need to say on that.
All right. So, I mean, I guess he didn't really explain it, but apparently he had some blood work or something that still needed to be sorted through coming back off the COVID list, and then he was able to be inserted in the lineup once that was cleared. But maybe even more interested in hearing what Aaron Judge said when he heard about the Joey Gallo trade and his reaction to it. Here's Aaron Judge.
Yeah, I didn't really hear it until, you know, post-game talking with Meredith. But, wow, you know, a guy that hit it out of any ballpark. I don't think he gets enough credit for the type of defensive he plays, you know, all around from his reads to his arm. And then also just talking with Rugi and a couple of guys that have played with him, man, what a guy you want in your clubhouse. The guy's, you know, shows up every day ready to play. He's going to fight till the very end. And, you know, if that's true and, you know, it comes true that we get him, I think it's going to be, something special for our team.
And maybe we want to hear a couple of cuts from Aaron Boone as well. Maybe Aaron Boone cleared up why Aaron Judge did not initially start. I guess that's the fourth cut we have here from Aaron Boone. So let's hear what the Yankee manager's explanation was after the game.
It basically, in some of his return from the COVID stuff, he just had to complete some doctor appointments. He's fine. He's good to go. But it went long, and he ended up not getting to the field until into the 6 o'clock hour. So it was just, you know, we had to scratch him, obviously.
All right. Well, it was a sigh of relief, I think, for every Yankee fan when they saw Aaron Judge walking around in the dugout, putting a batting helmet on, and realizing that, no, he was not traded for Joey Gallo.
No, but that's, you know what? That's not where my mind went. My mind went to the place where it's like, oh, gosh, something's wrong with Aaron Judge again.
Yes.
Here we go again. At the most inopportune time, he's going to have to deal with another stint on the IL because of something that happened the night before. Like, that's what I worry about with Aaron Judge. It's one of those things that you always hold your breath. Unless they tell you that he's going to have a planned day off, if he's out of the lineup, your mind automatically goes to him being hurt. But I'm glad that's not the case. I mean, I guess he pinch-hitted for Estevan Floreal in the fifth inning, and he stayed in the lineup from there. But, I mean, he came through in a big spot last night. I mean, and that's what you're relying on your best players to be able to do, to come through in those moments in a series that's absolutely critical to the Yankees being able to climb their way out of the cellar in the AL East. Like, that's important. So I feel good about this team being able to get a series win against Tampa because of recent memory. They've had our number. So hopefully they can continue to use these performances down there at the Trop and build on that in the second half of this season. But I mean, listen, they've got an uphill climb. Like, there are a few teams that they've got to be able to leapfrog in order to get their hands on one of those wild card spots. So we'll hope that the Joey Gallo move puts them a step closer to being able to do that. But like I said before, I don't think Brian Cashman is done before the trade deadline tomorrow.
Well, it'll be really interesting to see if he has another move, another domino to fall after Joey Gallo and what that is. And that could certainly poke holes in my theory. Let's get to Elvis in Elizabeth, who joins us next year on 98.7 ESPN on DCR. Elvis.
Good morning, good morning. Much love to you guys. Just want to say the Brian Cashman thing, I'm a diehard Yankee fan, but I don't understand why every time, oh, fire this guy, this is blah, 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 the easy way out. This is not Jim Dolan with Phil Jackson letting him make draft moves or whatever, and then fire him a week later. We can just see what happened today with Joey Gallo. I love it. I mean, obviously we're not going to win the World Series, but like Michael Kay said, let's at least make it to the party. And hopefully this could help us to make it to the party and Severino coming back. And yeah, that's just my take. That's all.
That's a fair take. That's a totally fair take. Get me to the playoffs. Get me to the playoffs, and maybe some of those bats will run into some fastballs. And CC, maybe this is a year where the home run hitters actually hit home runs in the postseason.
Yeah,
maybe,
I mean,
it happens.
That's what you have to hope for. I mean, I'm a big believer in punching your ticket to the dance and then seeing what happens once you get into the tournament. But the way that the Yankees were trending, going into the All-Star break, you didn't feel great about their chances of being able to come out in the second half and being able to, you know, to win 6 of 8 against the Boston Red Sox or to win a series against the Tampa Bay Rays. But listen, they've kind of held their own, and more than held their own. I mean, they're starting to look like the team that can make a postseason push, and then adding Joey Gallo is only going to help in that effort and being able to accomplish that.
And really, you know, we can talk about Joey Gallo. We can talk about making another move. We can talk about even Severino coming back. This team's hopes of actually getting that wild card spot and making noise in the postseason, still probably go back to whether or not the guys that are already on the team just flat out start to play better, right? Like, don't you just at some point need Gary Sanchez, Giancarlo Stanton, you know, specifically in the middle of the lineup to start playing at the back of their baseball
Labor Torres, card? Yeah. Guys right. like that. No, yeah. They have to. They have to start performing that. I mean, you need DJ LeMahieu to step up and be more of what you saw from him the last couple of years before he got that huge contract. Like, you need those guys to step up in a really big way. And I think they have the ability to do it. We've seen them do it in the past. It's now a matter of them just putting it all together. And you hope that this Joey Gallo trade ends up being the catalyst for this offense to be able to get things turned around. Like, one of the things that Aaron Judge talked about is the leadership in the locker room and how he's one of those guys, Joey Gallo is one of those guys that you love to play with. Like, he talked to Odor about him. Like, that's something that you can't quantify. And you're hoping that he can provide that spark on the team and these guys can get on a little bit of a run. Like, that's what you're looking for. You're looking to try to catch that lightning in a bottle for this group. And if they get on fire in the second half, I mean, they have the potential to turn into the lineup that nobody wants to see. It's just a matter of them actually going out there and producing. And that's something that we haven't seen consistently all year long.
And talking about, like, needing that kind of dynamic middle of the, you know, top of the lineup, spray the ball around, you can't shift against me type hitter. Mm. They have a couple of guys on the team. You mentioned them, LeMahieu and Gleyber, that if they played the way they're capable of playing, that might not be as much of a glaring need, right? Like, you've got a couple of guys already on the team that should play more that way in front of all of these power hitters that so far this year haven't. And as a Met fan, what I saw, at least I thought I saw, a couple of weeks ago, right when he came back off the IL, and I thought you saw the embers kind of, you know, of a second half hot streak building was Michael Conforto, right? Mm. Hit a couple of home runs, started to drive the ball. He immediately went into like a 2-for-19 slump, and now it seems like he's searching again. On the Yankees side, a guy that seems to have at least one really hard hit ball in a big spot every game since the All-Star break has been Gleyber Torres. Like, if there's a guy that looks to me like he's that kind of a player and he's on the verge of maybe having a second half bust out, I think it probably is Gleyber.
No, I'm hoping that it's Gleyber Torres too, and you're wondering if the addition of Joey Gallo and having the opportunity to move Gleyber down in the order a little bit takes some pressure off of him. But he's definitely one of those guys that, you know, when he's right, you know, he's capable of hitting a lot of home runs, but he's also capable of putting the ball in play and moving guys over and driving guys in. So Gleyber Torres has that versatility that we talked about as a hitter that the Yankees offense has been lacking, but it's just a matter of him being able to step up and deliver that when the Yankees need it most. And right now, with every series, the Yankee season is on the line. I mean, we're 100 games in. I mean, they've got to continue to gain ground. Otherwise, it'd be getting late really early. So I just feel like this is the time that the Yankees need to make that push. This is the time they need to stack series wins. And right now, based on what they're doing down in Tampa, I feel like they're primed to be able to get that done.
Yeah, and not only is Gallo tailor-made for Yankee Stadium, obviously being a left-handed power bat, and they don't have that, but he is, as I said earlier, a really good athletic defensive player in left field. And last
night,
he's
not Giancarlo Stanton.
Not at all. And this allows Giancarlo Stanton to just stay at the DH spot. Gallo should play every day or just about every day in left field, I would think. I'm sure that's probably their blueprint. And boy, last night, did we see each closer for the two respective teams bailed out by some amazing defensive plays?
That DJ LeMahieu play made me hold my breath on that pop-up.
Yeah.
I'm like, there's no way that the Yankees can allow the Rays to tie this game up on this kind of play. There's no chance that could happen.
And the the Mets keep on doing it. I mean, again, there's kind of a glass half full, glass half empty theory with the Mets, where the glass half empty theory is they're doing this with smoke and mirrors, right? They keep on just skating by and finding ways to eke games out, but they're a house of cards. They better make a move because they're fragile. They barely have scored more runs than their opponents this year to be a 10 games over 500 first place team in their division. The glass half full theory is they keep on finding ways, right? Like, I mean, that play by Michael Conforto last night was as good a defensive play, as good a throw as I think we've seen anybody make for either of the two New York locals this year.
Yeah, I mean, he won the game for the Mets. I mean, he saved that run. I mean, he gunned down Almonte from right field. Like, That was huge. I mean, that's one of those ways as a player you find a way to contribute even though you might not be right offensively, and clearly Conforto isn't. But, I mean, finding a way to be able to contribute to your team's success, that was a prime example of it. And, I mean, you're absolutely right with your take on the Mets. Like, this team offensively has been struggling. Now, they could actually explain away why they've been struggling, unlike the Yankees, because they've had so many guys in and out of the lineup due to injuries or stints because of COVID. Like, they've had to deal with so much in terms of juggling the lineup. But, I mean, you know, the starting pitching has been outstanding for the Mets. Tyler McGill, another good outing. He gave you 5 1/3 and only allows one earned run, that Austin Riley home run. That was it. And then your bullpen has been a pleasant surprise. They locked it down again. So, I mean, you have to feel good about this Mets team. And when you look at the landscape of their division, it feels like they're in the driver's seat. So, I mean, there's clearly a move to be made. I thought it was interesting that the organization seems to be focusing on pitching rather than adding a position player. You know, if I was a Mets fan, I would want one of those guys from the Cubs, whether it's Javi Baez or Chris Bryant, but that's just me. But this Mets team, I mean, they've got to go all in. Zach Scott, their general manager, has to invest on this team. He's got to make a move or two before the trade deadline, because this is a team that's capable of not only getting into the postseason, but doing some damage once they get there because of the strength of their pitching staff.
But you're right, they need help. Like, there's a little bit of fool's gold right now with the Mets. They are not the Dodgers. They are not the Giants. They are not the Padres. I don't even know if they're the Brewers. Right?
But they don't have to be to win their division and get into the postseason.
Correct.
They don't have to be.
What's the goal, though? Is the goal just to make it? Like with the Yankees, we're sitting here saying they got Joey Gallo so they can make it. The Mets have to have a bigger goal than just making it.
No, they absolutely have to, especially when you have the best player in the sport in Jacob DeGrom. Like, you absolutely have to have ambitions beyond just getting into the postseason. But, I mean, they do have the opportunity to kind of be choosy in terms of what they're going after and what they're trying to pursue, just because I feel like the division is, I'm not going to say a certainty, but I mean, they seem to be in the driver's seat in terms of being able to win the NL East. So, I mean, we'll see what they do ahead of the deadline tomorrow. But I feel like they need to focus on trying to add a little more punch to the lineup. You heard Javi Baez come out and say he wants to play with Francisco Lindor, and that's the only way that he would consider a change to second base over playing shortstop. But he could be a guy that provides you some punch at shortstop until Francisco Lindor returns. Like, to me, that's a move that makes a lot of sense on a lot of different levels.
Yeah, I think the first name you mentioned, Chris Bryant, I've been beating that drum for a couple of weeks now. I think he actually fits exactly what they need because he's so versatile. I don't think he completely eliminates J.D. Davis. You can move Bryant around. He could play a variety of places, obviously, first and foremost, third base. You know, they have 36 hours to do something. As a Met fan, we talked about it yesterday. They better do something, because this is an incomplete team. As good as they've been this year, they are winning baseball's version right now of the NFC East. And you can't rest on winning the NFC East. You can't. They have holes. And I think they realize they've got those holes. But they also have an historically great player that's going to come back and is potentially going to see another year of his career go by the boards without a deep playoff run to show for it. Now, granted, 2015, DeGrom was part of the Met team that went to the World Series, but he wasn't this DeGrom.
No.
Right, like, this DeGrom, this is Bob Gibson. This is Sandy Koufax. That's what we're watching. We are watching one of the great, you know, pitching performances in the history of the sport right before our eyes, game after game, year after year. You got to take a swing for the fences when you've got a guy like that on your team between now and tomorrow afternoon, because they are a first-place team and they're getting him back. You got to go for one of those big-time players. It's just, it's time. You got to do it.
No, I'm agreeing with you. You got to go for it. And the one thing that I will say about the Mets is that now that you have Steve Cohen as the owner, I mean, you have the potential to be able to take on salary, and you have the potential to be able to mortgage off pieces of your farm system, just because you can go out and buy more talent once you get into the offseason, free agent markets, etc. Like, you have the potential to replace some of the guys that you would have to offer up in a trade in order to bring back pieces that can help your team now. So it just makes sense for them to go out there and make a significant move. And if we take Steve Cohen at his word, it could be multiple moves, just because he's already said if he's going to go past the luxury tax threshold, he's not just going to inch past it, he's going to blow past it. So, I mean, this could set up to be a furious 24, 36 hours if you're a Mets fan in terms of being able to add to this roster. But they could be feeling a lot differently about their team once we get to Saturday.
I'll be Dave Rothenberg angry, like furious, if tomorrow at 4 o'clock in the afternoon they haven't done anything. If you listen to this show, that's serious. Like, if I'm saying I'm going to be Dave Rothenberg angry, like, that's angry. That's legit angry.
Goodbye.
Yeah, that's treadmills through the window, breaking the wedding DVD. Yes.
I smashed the treadmill through the blind, through the window.
That's what exactly. I'm talking about.
Locking yourself in a seedy hotel for a weekend because your team is losing. Like that. That's,
I am thermometer
that's,
boy.
That's
right
Dave here. Rothenberg angry. Dave Rothenberg type of emotion. But yeah, they absolutely have to make a move. Now, the word on the street is that the Cubs front office is moving slowly in terms of sifting through the potential trade markets for the players that they would put on the block. But you got to believe that the Mets are in on those conversations or both of those players just because both of those guys would fit a need that the Mets currently have.
Yeah. You talk about locking yourself in a hotel room. That just, like, spring the story. I have a buddy who we were at a party one time, and we're all getting to that age where you have to have, like, unpleasant doctor procedures. And you know what I mean? And one of the guys was like, yeah, I got the colonoscopy coming up. And I was like, well, I mean, it, like, they knock you out. You don't have to worry about it. It's fine. I said, the only hard part's the prep. Right, like anybody that's gone through that procedure. How old are you, CeCe? You're not anywhere near having to have that. Yeah, so you're unless the doctors come to you and say in the next few years you're having like pain somewhere or you know something unfortunate happens, you're 12 years away. But anybody who is at least 45 to 50 years old or older knows exactly what I'm talking about. If you have to have the colonoscopy done, the worst part about it is the prep. The prep is designed to give you 24 hours or so of, like, I'm not eating anything.
And
I'm
going to
drink
this
stuff.
Obese man that's going to sit in the chair.
Yeah, I'm going to drink this stuff. And by the time I get done drinking this stuff tomorrow morning, I'm going to be clean as a whistle. And I guess you could probably close your eyes and imagine how they make that happen. Right? It's a rough procedure. So you drink this stuff and you spend all night like 5 feet away from the bowl because you're making runs. Because the next morning when you go in for the procedure, you have to have nothing inside of you and make sure this stuff works. You got nothing inside of you.
You want to see it?
So we're at this party, and we're saying, the guy's like, yeah, I got to do this. And I'm like, well, they knock you out. It's not like you're awake for the procedure. So the only hard part's the prep. Over my shoulder, one of my buddies goes, I love the prep. We turned to look at him. We're like, what are you talking about? You love the prep. He's like, the prep for me, daddy gets a hotel room. I lock the door. I got the remote. Nobody asks me for anything. I spend the night 10 feet away from the bowl, but I control the TV. I get to watch whatever I want to watch. It's like a mini vacation.
That's a hell of a thing to go through to just get some time to yourself, isn't it?
Yeah, well.
Hell of a thing to go through. My goodness.
He looks forward to it.
I don't know. Yeah.
The only guy in the world looks forward to the colonoscopy prep.
Said no one ever except him.
Yeah,
period. Exactly. I look
all
forward
right.
to that.
Well, whatever.
Wow.
I went off on a tangent.
Very interesting tangent that you took us down.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN. DCR.
The trade deadline is 36 hours away, and last night, Gallo gets removed by Texas from their lineup.
Wow, get out of any ballpark.
Joey Gallo, being able to add him to this lineup should help the Yankees in terms of them trying to make that postseason push.
I don't think he gets enough credit for the type of defense that he plays.
This is the time that the Yankees need to make that push. This is the time they need to stack series wins. We're 100 games in. They've got to continue to gain ground, otherwise they'd be getting late really early.
This is DCR on 98.7 ESPN.
1-800-919-3776. 1-800-919-ESPN. It is DCR here on 98.7 ESPN. The only normal member of the crew, Chris Canty, has been very benevolent this week with me, Bob Wischusen, in for the guys. And at the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless, has all morning been the Yankees have certainly shown their cards. They are absolutely still going for it this year. And if you had any doubts, they put those doubts to rest last night by making a trade for Joey Gallo. So let's get back to the phones real quick. Anthony in Staten Island has been patient, and he joins us next here on 98.7 ESPN. Anthony.
Hey, good morning, guys. Yeah, I guess going into this, I probably wasn't in favor of them making a deal only because, look, they've been good the last couple of years and they really haven't gone all in. And I'm like, now they're kind of bad and they're going to go in all now. But nevertheless, I'm excited. I mean, they didn't give up too much. And this guy's obviously, you know, a lefty in the lineup. I mean, go for it. They're the only stadium, right, that's like tailored for a lefty and they don't have a lefty. So finally, that works. I'm kind of interested to see if they actually give him A-Rod's old number. So that would be 13, so that would be cool. But I think this makes them more likely to pick up someone else. And I think they're probably either going to shop for some sort of a pitcher or maybe even a center fielder and make Glenn Allen like a fourth outfielder or something like that. So I'm curious to see what you guys think. But I just think that by them making this move, it's more likely that they make another move now, you know, between now and the deadline, you know, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, Anthony, I agree with you. I think there's more moves to come from Brian Cashman in the Yankees front office. What that actually is remains to be seen. I would like to see them try to fortify the pitching staff. I feel like they could use another arm in the bullpen, and I wouldn't be mad if they decided to add some help with the rotation. I do know that you're getting a lot of guys back. Like, you're going to get Severino at some point this second half. Corey Kluber should be able to. We'll see what ends up happening with him. But I feel like they could add some more arms to the pitching staff. You know, if you threw in another position player there, if you added, you know, a Trevor Story, middle infielder, I wouldn't be mad at that move either. But I would just prefer that they add to the pitching staff because I feel like that's going to be more of a need. You don't want to kill your bullpen before you even get to the postseason. So I think that's where, if I was making the decisions, I would focus on for the Yankees.
Well, that is the Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. But if you want to talk about the actual Straight Talk, there was a certain quarterback yesterday in Green Bay that gave us the Straight Talk. If you didn't see Aaron Rodgers' press conference yesterday, the first time he has met the media and spoken publicly since what he went through with the Packers, well, he did. I don't know, CeCe, to me, this was like every disgruntled employee's fantasy. I am going to say whatever I want. I'm going to unload. And to make the fantasy even more fantastical, they can't touch me. Right? Like most people, I think, fantasize, if I ever got another job, I would walk into my boss's office and I would say this. Or the day I retire, I am going to unload on this guy. This guy still has years and millions to earn. And he said whatever he wanted to say yesterday. And he went in there with a calculated speech ready to go.
No, he did. And the thing that I appreciate as a former player is that he stuck up for the guys that were veteran players in Green Bay that were integral to the team's success over the past decade where he felt like the organization had mishandled them. Like he went down the list of guys, whether it's Julius Peppers or Jordy Nelson, Clay Matthews. Like he went down the list of guys that he felt like were done wrong by the Packers front office. So I can appreciate that. He was completely transparent. You can't have anything but respect for how he handled himself with the media yesterday. But in saying that, just listening to his tone throughout that press conference, it's clear that he's not over whatever issues that he has with Brian Gutekunst in the organization.
Doubt.
He's not past it. This is not something where you're going to say it's water under the bridge. This is just one of those things that we're going to table it for now because we got to get to the business of competing at a really high level. And Aaron Rodgers is not at the stage of his career where he can afford to give away seasons when he's at the height of his powers. Like, he's not going to do that. Like, for Aaron Rodgers, coming back to Green Bay was more about him being able to enhance his legacy and having a chance to compete for another Super Bowl as opposed to, oh, I've got to do this because I'm under contract with the organization. Like, this is more about Rodgers saying, I can't give away a season more so than, you know, anything else. And so for me, like, I saw the press conference and I was like, yeah, he's still not over it. But I do think this could be one of those things that ends up galvanizing the guys in the locker room because if you're a teammate of Aaron Rodgers, I don't know how you could hear what you heard yesterday in that press conference and not absolutely love the guy.
Great.
Like, they're going to go out and they're going to play hard for him, no question about it.
Great point.
And it could end up getting Brian Gutekunst the result that he's looking for, this team being able to get past the NFC Championship game and get to the big game once again.
Yeah, like if he's still got the back of the guys that aren't even here anymore, you know he's going to have my back because I'm the guy going to war with him now. So you're right. It probably does make his teammates feel even more that he's in their corner than maybe they did before. But let's listen to, if you didn't hear it yesterday, a couple of things that Aaron Rodgers had to say. And we can just take these in order. He wants to be used as a recruiter and very surprised that he had not been used as a recruiter to get guys to come to Green Bay. So here's Aaron Rodgers on that.
Wanting to be a part of conversations involving free agents, which has never happened in my career. I've trained with a number of NFL guys most of my career in the off seasons. My agency, Athletes First, has had a number of high draft picks over the years. I've tried to pass along information. Hasn't really been used, shall we say. So I wanted to offer my services as a recruiter. And I think we can all understand, you know, Green Bay isn't, you know, a huge vacation destination. People are coming here to play with me, to play with our team, and knowing that they can win a championship here. And the fact that I haven't been used in those discussions was one I wanted to change moving forward.
You want to talk about a diplomatic way to describe Green Bay. That's exactly right. Not a vacation destination, but it is a great place to be a football player. And he thinks he deserves to be in on personnel decisions at this point in his career and the status that he has reached. Here is Aaron Rodgers on that.
I talked to Matt after the deal had already been in place to hire him as coach. I wasn't part of that conversation. You know, let's just make that completely clear. I do love Matt, and we've had a blast together, and I'm glad he's here. But decisions like that that have happened over and over and over again that make me realize that the organization looks at me and my job is just to play. In my opinion, based on what I've accomplished in this league, the way I care about my teammates, the way I show up in the locker room, the way I lead, the way I conduct myself in the community, you should tie myself to a little bit more input. The rules, you know, are the same for most people, but every now and then there's some outliers, you know, guys who've been in an organization for 17 years and won a few MVPs where they can be in conversations at a different higher level. I'm not asking for anything that other great quarterbacks across the last few decades have not gotten.
Mm. Well, see, that's the problem right there. He's asking for something that quarterbacks in Green Bay don't get.
Right.
And that's the thing that I think Aaron Rodgers feels a way about. But, I mean, listen, he should know how this thing is going to go. I mean, he was the guy that they drafted to replace Brett Favre, and Brett Favre still had some good years left in him. Brett Favre still got to an NFC Championship game after that happened, albeit with a different team. Like, it's just – this is one of those, like – Aaron Rodgers has got to understand, this is how Green Bay does business. This is who they are. They're not going to give the quarterback, you know, that type of treatment, that superstar treatment where they include you in high-level conversations about what they're going to do from a personnel standpoint. Now, it seems like he did get a little bit of more sway because they did go out and make the trade for Randall Cobb. I think they gave up a 6-round pick. But I think that has more to do with just trying to appease Aaron than any significant pivot from the Green Bay Packers organization in terms of them, you know, including him in a meaningful way moving forward.
Well, Chris, this is the cut as well. If we go to cut number four, guys, this is the one that I think probably more than anything, like, widened people's eyes. Like, wow, he is just flat out calling them out for how they have treated former players, and he came in with a list. He kept glancing down to his right to make sure he didn't miss any names because he wrote all these guys down. Here's Aaron Rodgers on the list of players that were treated poorly, in his opinion, by the Packers.
I wanted to help the organization maybe learn from them some of the mistakes in the past, in my opinion, about the way that some of the outgoing veterans were treated, and just the fact that we didn't retain a number of players that I felt like were core players to our foundation, our locker room. High character guys. I'm talking about Charles Woodson, Jordy Nelson, Julius Peppers, Clay Matthews, Randall Cobb, James Jones, John Kuhn, Brett Goode, TJ Lang, Brian Bulaga, Casey Hayward, Micah Hyde, guys who were, you know, exceptional players for us, but great locker room guys, high character guys. Many of them who weren't offered a contract at all, or were extremely lowballed, or were, you know, maybe in my opinion, not given the respect on the way out that guys of their status and stature and high character deserved.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, he came prepared. He had that list made. He wanted to make sure he didn't miss any names.
Yeah, he had the receipts yesterday.
He did.
And listen, I don't disagree with what he's saying. Like, Aaron Rodgers is not wrong for what he wants and what he expected to see from the Packers. And so I get the rift and how this could devolve over the course of this offseason. I completely understand it. But now, I mean, he's reported to camp. He seems like he's all in. You saw the clip of him at practice yesterday working with Jordan Love and the other quarterbacks. So it feels like you know, Aaron Rodgers is going to put this to the side and focus on the business of trying to win football games. But make no mistake about it, this thing is not over between him and the general manager in the front office. It's not. And so I'd be interested to see what details come out about the concessions that the Packers made beyond just voiding the 2023 season in Rodgers' contract. But, I mean, this is going to be interesting. This is going to be something that we speculate about all season long about where Aaron Rodgers is going to end up in 2022. This isn't over.
Yep, 800-919-3776, 800-919-ESPN. Hey, by the way, if you're driving around right now or listening to us this morning, if you have a story, either you, a buddy, something like that at work where you, on your way out the door, just went scorched earth to your boss, I'd like to hear it. To me, those are entertaining stories. Like, if you've got an Aaron Rodgers, if at some point you pulled an Aaron Rodgers, give us a call and tell us about it. Because, to me, he lived the dream yesterday, right? Like, everybody at some point in their life has had a job with a boss where you wanted to just unload, and all you could do was go home to your wife, to your husband, to your friends, to whoever in the bar after work, and you just spew everything that you'd like to say to your bosses. I think you can tell Aaron Rodgers actually lived the dream, right? Like, he not only has said this to all of the people in the offices at Green Bay, but he went in front of a microphone yesterday and basically spewed it all to the whole world.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
See, we haven't even talked about the NBA draft, but here it is. We're right on the doorstep of the NBA draft. The Knicks, it seems like there is this eternal search for the everyday point guard. I'm not sure if that's where you think they're going to go, but there are some really interesting names in this year's draft.
No, there are some interesting names, and you're hearing that the Knicks are considering packaging the 19th pick and the 21st pick in order to move up and try to make a play for one of those point guards, whether it's Chris Duarte or Davion Mitchell from Baylor. Like, they're trying to make a move for a guy, and that's what they should focus on, in all honesty, Bob. Like, that's one of the areas that this team has to figure out. Point guard is the most important position in the NBA. I mean, you saw what happened with the Milwaukee Bucks. They added Drew Holiday this offseason, and lo and behold, they end up winning the NBA championship. Like, that's how much of a difference a point guard can make. I mean, Chris Paul with the Phoenix Suns and what that team was able to turn into this year. Like, you have to be able to find a guy that can be a difference maker. And you like what you saw from Emmanuel Quickley. You hope that he can build on that in year two. But to me, it's clear what the Knicks should be focusing on this offseason, which is finding a point guard, whether it's in the draft, whether it's in free agency, whether it's via trade. Like, they've got to find a way to upgrade that position, because asking a guy like Derrick Rose to do what he did in the postseason last year, you realize that that's not something that's sustainable. They need to try to get younger at that position, more dynamic. And right now is the beginning of the opportunities for the Knicks to do that.
Well, one of my jobs at ESPN, obviously a lot of my job at ESPN over the past 20 years or so, has been college basketball. And for the last 6 or 7 years, I have been one of the main guys on the Big 12. So I have done Monday nights with Fran Fraschilla in the Big 12, Big Monday, and I have seen Davion Mitchell and that group of Baylor players not only developed, obviously go on to win a national championship, but kind of go from, you know, like the guys you never heard of before to the best backcourt in college basketball. And I'm just telling, if there's a Knicks fan out there that's not a big college basketball fan, and you just hear the name Davion Mitchell, or you watched those guys absolutely smother Gonzaga in the championship game, that is what they are. Like, that group of guards, you can't go to Central Casting and find, if they can pull this off, and find a point guard that would be more of a fan favorite because of how he plays than Davion Mitchell would be to Knicks fans at the Garden. All of the toughness of, you know, the Derek Harpers, the John Starks, the Doc Rivers, like all of those guys that were a part of get up in your mug, drive you crazy. Every single defensive possession is played like it's the last possession of the game, and I am going to be all over you and be a tone setter and never have one moment of taking my foot off the gas pedal type defense and intensity. Mm-hmm. That is Davion Mitchell as a point guard. So if you get him, he is a tone setter for your team in a way that, like, the last thing you ever have to worry about Davion Mitchell doing is taking a possession off, because he never, ever does it.
And you know that's exactly what Tibbs is looking for, right? Like he's looking
he would
for
be
a guy
so good
that can be a defensive presence, especially at that position. So, I mean, if you were able to get him somebody like that, I think that would be huge for the Knicks. I mean, because let's face it, man, they struggled against point guards. You saw it against the Atlanta Hawks with Trae Young. Like, they struggled finding ways to try to slow Trae Young down to try to defend him in that high pick and roll that the Hawks ran at him over and over and over again. So if you can get a guy that can be dynamic on the offensive end, but also, you know, be more of a presence defensively, especially knowing that you have a defensive-minded head coach, like, to me, that's going to be huge. That can make a big impact immediately for the Knicks with this upcoming season. So, I mean, fingers crossed that they could put themselves in position to be able to get a guy like that. Not sure it's going to happen. But, I mean, it's going to be really interesting tonight to see what Leon Rose does in his second draft, being able to run things, him and Tom Thibodeau.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great point, too, thinking specifically about what they struggled the most with, and probably had they been able to solve that problem, they would have won the Hawks series. They just couldn't stay in front of Trae Young. If there was one guy in college basketball that I have seen with my own eyes that I would be confident could be the guy to go stay in front of Trae Young, like, that's my guy, and he ain't going nowhere, it would be Davion Mitchell. I think it's that would be a great move if the Knicks could package something. And now you're right.
I'll tell you, the guy is built like a running back.
They'll have to move up to go get him.
He's built like a running back.
Yes.
I mean, Davion Mitchell looks like he can be starting for the Baylor football team. I mean, that's how big that guy is. It already feels like he has an NBA body. So, I mean, again, I think this is one of those players that could contribute in year one as a rookie. But it's just a matter of, are the Knicks going to be able to position themselves to get a guy like that?
Absolutely. All right, we got telephone calls at 800-919-3776, 800-919-ESPN. Let's get a few in. DJ in Jersey City joins us next here on 98.7 ESPN. What's up, DJ?
How's it going, guys? I wanted to talk about who the Mets need to go after in this trade deadline.
Okay.
They need to go after Chris Bryant. They don't need to add more pitching. Hopefully DeGrom gets healthy. You know, Taiwan Walker's been better than advertised. Stroman's been pitching well this year. You're hoping Cookie can come back and be, you know, something solid. And even Syndergaard coming back, hopefully he can give you some good games. Come playoff time, they go down to a 3 or 4 man rotation. They don't need more starters. Even Miguel's been better than advertised. They got to stick with what they have in they've got a solid bullpen. Diaz is a liability, but, you know, he has those games where he comes back and shuts the door. So they need offense. I can deal with letting up 12 runs and losing a game. I can't deal with losing games 2-0, 1-0, and that seems to happen far too often with some of these guys.
And on the flip side, constantly trying to keep winning games 2-1 mm-hmm. or 3-1 the way they are right now. Like in a 14-inning doubleheader, they split the doubleheader and in 14 innings scored one run. I don't think you can keep living life that way. I agree. Chris Bryant can play anywhere. Professional hitter. I think they could re-sign him. I mean, if money's no object for Steve Cohen, there's no reason he can't be here long-term. I love Chris Bryant for the Mets if they can make that happen.
No, I think it makes a whole lot of sense, too. I mean, I wouldn't have a problem with either one of those guys from the Cubs, whether it's Chris Bryant or Javi Baez, both free agents after the season. Like, I think both of them make sense for a lot of the reasons that you and that last caller pointed out. I look at this Mets pitching staff, and I don't feel comfortable with where it's at, the injuries that your rotation has dealt with, and then knowing what you have in the bullpen. Like, they've been a pleasant surprise, but I still don't all the way trust it, especially when you start talking about guys like Familia, like Diaz, like May. So I wouldn't have a problem with them trying to fortify their bullpen as well at the trade deadline. We'll see what Zach Scott ends up doing, but I think it's clear that they have to make some moves because this team has demonstrated that they're good enough. They're sitting in the pole position in the NL East. It just makes sense, especially when you have an owner who's already told you that money is no object and he's willing to blow past the luxury tax.
We got Peter in Oakland, New Jersey, joining us next on 98.7 ESPN. Peter.
Morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Fire away.
So I want to talk about this deal the Yankees made with Gallo, and when does the clock run out on Cashman and these deals that he keeps making? He keeps bringing on the same guys. They have a bunch of guys that are station-to-station guys, home run or nothing, and that's not going to help this team.
Peter, I'm just telling you right now, you're being very negative. You're being very negative. Chris Candy doesn't like negativity. Chris likes all the positivity. He just wants you to talk about how the Yankees are being aggressive and he can hit home runs, left-hander. So I'm just saying, dangerous to bring that stuff on this show. You might get yelled at.
No, don't say that. Don't make me out to be that guy. I'm not a homer, B.O.B. Like, I can be objective about what I'm seeing from the Yankees. And listen, I understand the flaws of this team all too well. I mean, like, the way that this team has played this year, the games that they've blown, the leads that they've blown, like, it's maddening to watch. But I don't know how you couldn't look at the Joey Gallo move as a positive for this club. I mean, he's a plus defender. You're going to be able to upgrade your outfield. I mean, he's better than anything that you've marched out there in left field to date this season. So I don't understand where the downside from that regard is. And then you're adding a huge power lefty bat to your lineup. Like, that's something that you need. Everybody's been calling into our show complaining about how the Yankees are too right-handed heavy in their lineup and they need to be able to add some lefty bats. Well, you added a lefty bat. Guy's got 25 home runs on the season. He's going to be able to take advantage of the short porch out there in right field in Yankee Stadium. Like, why are you choosing to look at it as a negative? It doesn't make sense to me. I get that he strikes out a lot, but he also hits the ball over the fence a lot, and that's something that the Yankees could use because they've been wildly inconsistent right when it comes to the offensive side of things.
I'm just saying, I'm fat and bald and woke up at 4. So, like, I'm like, the jumping off point is negativity. And you just have to understand
that. That explains a lot. That explains a lot. I appreciate it.
But I've enjoyed that. Like, you're the only guy here that I think likes me. I think everybody else kind of somewhat, like, I've never worked with Rothenberg or Rick. You know what I mean? So, like, maybe they would like me. I don't know. But did you?
Well, Rick's a Jets fan, so you got to think he would like you.
That helps, you know. Yeah. But like I worked with,
and then you and Dave Rothenberg have a lot of similar physical attributes. So
there we are.
Maybe
same
that'll
body, same
you
body
to him.
Type, same there born negativity.
I wear a swim shirt.
Like, I worked with Peter Rosenberg filling in for Kay a couple of summers ago. I don't know if you ever heard this story. So I worked with Peter, and the following week after I work with him, he works with Alan Hahn, and on the show with Alan Hahn, they did like a Twitter poll and a survey of, with Alan Hahn sitting there, who works better with Peter? Like, who's the better co-host?
Wow, just put you on the spot, just like that, huh?
Who do you think, with Alan Hahn sitting there, A, who do you think won the survey? And B, who do you think Peter voted for?
Excuse me?
He's
Hack Rosenberg.
Yes, segment was a week-long segment on the show, how Alan Hahn's great and I suck.
Wow,
that was like a week-long
segment. Just
threw
you under the bus.
Yes.
I would never do that to you, Bob. I would never do that to you.
I know you would. I mean, obviously, I've worked sparingly with Michael, but Michael hates everyone at the radio station other than Rick. Right? Like, hadn't that been established?
Yeah, that is a little bit of an awkward relationship, too. I don't know why those guys are that close. It doesn't make sense to anybody at the station. Nobody gets it.
And I work with Don last week. And he went on and on with me about how great it was, and I had a great. The next day after I left, his Don top five was top five guys at the radio station.
Take the L!
I didn't get honorable mention. So the day after
I
worked with
him. I'm one of the greatest broadcasters on planet Earth.
There you go. So I'm just saying, like, I've really enjoyed spending the last 3 days with you, because if you don't like me, you acted like you did, and I at least appreciated that.
Nah, I like you, B.O.B. I'm not going to throw you under the bus once you're not doing the show with me anymore. I'm not going to do that to you. I appreciate you stepping in this week.
You're a good man.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.